if you had 100 sheep and one went astray, would you go after it? Would you go after it? And I thank him every day. I thank God each and every day for coming after this one. Amen. I thank him each and every day for coming after y'all. Amen. I thought about that. He left 99. He left 99% just for one. Just for one. And I thought, you loved me, Jesus. You loved me, the sinner that was not worthy to come after me. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And then I got to just keep on praising him. And then I was thinking about my favorite song. I'm not going to ask you to sing it this morning, but Waymaker. And I don't think that there's a day that don't go by that I don't listen to that song. Because church in 2020, in 2019, 18, 17, 16, before any of us was born, and way after we're all gone, he's still going to be a waymaker.
Amen.
Amen. And so I got thinking about that song. And it says in there, even when you don't see him working,
yes.
Even when you don't feel him working, how many's been there? Amen. He will never stop. He never stops. He's our way maker. He's our miracle worker. He's our promise keeper. He's our light in the darkness.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. I don't know about you, but I know when I am up at 3:30 and 4 and 4:30 in the morning praying over some certain things and some certain people in this congregation, he's always there. He's never left. He don't go to sleep. He don't go on vacation. He don't just get tired. He's always there. Amen. He's our waymaker. And I'm going to tell you, if we ever truly grasp and get a hold of that, this land will break out in revival. We, is the body of Christ,
amen,
will not be able to be contained. We will take off running, and they'll be like, what in the world's going on? We got revival going on. That's what this land needs. They need to go back to their waymaker. They need to go back to the light in the darkness. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something, church. Every time you turn on your television, every time, all this political nonsense is going on. Every bit of it. And when they're wanting to kill our babies. When they're wanting to kill our babies. And they're wanting to elect. I'm not going to get on politics. But when they want to elect a homosexual in office. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Amen.
Amen.
More today than ever. We need to be on our knees for our country.
Amen.
Pray for your leader every day.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
My God, he is an almighty. Amen.
Amen.
That's my testimony. This morning we're going to be speaking out of 1 John chapter 4. And our text is going to be 7 through 11. But I was stumped when I left here last Sunday. Because I said, I don't know what to preach on. I didn't know what to preach on. Because we had covered love. And then it was like a baseball bat to the head. You ain't talked about my love. You ain't talked about the most important love.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You ain't talked about the one that's giving you everlasting life, love.
Right.
And so I said, Jesus, please forgive me. For I know not what I think. How much does God love you? That is. Is anybody hot? Is it just me? Everybody.
It's warm.
You just turn on a little bit of air.
Yeah.
I won't be able to get through all of this today. Last week we learned how to love through hurt. Amen. how part of love is forgiving one another.
Yes.
Which is huge.
Yes.
And then the week before that, we learned how to really love God before you can love anything else. Because, hey, we all can say we love something or somebody, but before we put God first and love Him first, it ain't real true love. Amen? But this week, we're going to talk about how much God loves you. Don't turn it on Coco, because I'm freezing about it. We still need to get that amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus out. Church, God loved you. God loved you yesterday. We learned about this in Sunday school. God loved you yesterday. Guess what? God loves you today. But guess what? It's even better than that. He's going to love us forever. Tomorrow, next week, next year, forever. Woo! Hey, let me tell you something. People fall in and out of love. People fall in and out of love all the time. I got chills going all the way through my legs right now to know that without a shadow of a doubt, there's one that ain't never going to leave me nor forsake me and always love me. Hey, man, who's wanting to run? We'll go down and stop sign back. Come on, sister, let's go. Amen. I told my wife last night, I said, I'm excited about today. Because this isn't an Easter sermon, okay? You're going to think it is in a few minutes when we start talking about what true love is from God. But He's there for us yesterday, today, and forever. Church, God loves you and never bases His love for you on performance. Amen. Do you understand what I said? He never based on our performance. He loves us regardless. Amen? God love is shown through a couple different things. Salvation. Hallelujah. Our ticket in. Forgiveness. That's the tendering of the heart. And restoration. To sit back and enjoy the presence of what God's offering to us. Amen?
Amen.
These are just a few things. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So again, the question is, how much does God love you? The Bible says that God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
But how much does He love us? The Bible says that God wants us to love one another. But what does the Bible say about His love for us? The Bible says, he that loved not is not of God. But what is love? What is God's love for us? Amen?
Amen?
That is the question here today. How much God loves us? Today we're going to be looking at three areas of God's love. We're going to be talking about salvation, God's love through salvation, God's love through forgiveness, God's love through restoration. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John 4. Let's turn to verse 9. I want to read from 9 right this minute. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen.
Amen.
We may live through Him. God loved you and I so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody in this room, we've all read for ourselves. We've seen the t-shirt. We've seen the billboard sign. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen.
Amen.
For you and I. So, have you really, really considered the significance behind the fact that God was willing to send His only Son to die for you and I. Okay? Amen? We're fixing to break this thing down. Say hello, Pastor.
Hello.
Amen. You know, I studied this week on this word, and Jesus dying on the cross for you and I, which we hear every Easter. But when I started dissecting it on what it truly meant for God to love us, let me tell you, I don't think I've been right since Monday. Amen. I have just wanted to dig more and more into it. Because understanding that Jesus knew what was going on and what was about to take place. Amen. Jesus knew before the creation of the world that only by him being sent into the world was the penalty of sin and how it's going to be wiped away. Amen. You hear me? So if he knew before the creation of the world that he was going to die, think about this. Surely he knew the thing was fixing to happen. Surely he knew that he was going to be tormented. Surely he knew that he was going to be spat upon. Surely he knew he was going to be beaten. Amen? Surely he knew that he was going to be scorned, humiliated, and yelled at. We've all learned that, right?
Amen. Mm.
And this was all by the people that Jesus was trying to save. I want to ask a question. I'm going to ask you a fleshly question this morning from this pulpit. Now, if somebody's going to spit on you and yell at you and beat you and mock you, are you going to want to do anything for them? Would you want to die for them? Would you love them? That's a hard question to swallow this morning. And this was by the people, you and I, that he was trying to save. So I want you to remember that. Jesus loves you and the people in the biblical day so much that before he came, he already knew who would hurt him, who would betray him, and who would deny him. Amen? So he knew all these things were going to happen long before we were born. Church, think about this. Jesus did just not know them by face, but he knew them by the actions that they were going to carry out. Jesus knew them also by their name. I thought about that. And I thought about the little old country boy down in Griffin, Georgia, that's a pastor of a church called Abiding Love Community Church. And 42 years ago, my mother gave birth to me. But Jesus knew way before that that there was going to be a Shane Brown as a pastor at Abiding Love Community Church. It's amazing if you think about all God's goodness. Jesus knew before the creation of this world that man's name that made the crown of thorns. I have a crown of thorns in my office that came from Israel. And I picked that crown up. First time I ever picked it up, stuck me in the hand. You can't pick a crown of thorns up barehanded and not get stuck. And I thought about that. Jesus loved that man. Jesus loved that man that created the crown of thorns that would stick in his head. I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning, not trying to scare the children in here, but they need to know the true love of God and what he had to endure just for you and I. So God loved this person who made a crown of thorns that would ultimately go into his head. And he knew him by name before he was even created. Jesus, thank you, Lord. But Jesus says, I love you so much that I'm going to die for you. I loved you so much that I'm going to die for you. The person that yelled at him and saying, get down off that cross if you're true God. Get down off that cross if you're the true Messiah. Mocking him. He said, I died for you. I'm going to die for you. The soldier that would beat him in his face until it was swollen in his eyes, he could barely see. Jesus said, I loved you. I love you. Jesus said, those that beat me, I love you. Those that hated me, I love you. Even going through everything that he went through, he always said, I love you. And what I'm doing and what I'm going through is for you and for you only. I love you. Those of you that took the time to nail me to the cross, Jesus said, I love you. I love you. The soldier that pierced my side, Jesus said, I love you. I love you. He loves so much, amen. Those were the unbelievers. Those were the ones that didn't understand. Those are the ones that mocked him. Well, what about saved folks, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Because, see, sometimes we don't live like we're supposed to. But God loves us anyway. Yes. He loves us anyway. Those that are saved but still live the way they want to. Those that are saved that don't open up His Word. Amen. Those that are saved that don't want to serve Him like they should. God said, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. I think about that. And I think about when I first got saved and I was on fire. And I was like, oh Lord Jesus, I just got saved. You need to come to my church and you need to get, come on. I wanted to tell everybody about it. And then I remember that day when God called me to preach. And I was wanting to preach to the stop signs. I was wanting to go out there and preach to the trees in the backyard. I was wanting to go to preach to anybody I could because I was on fire. And then one day, I got my feelings hurt. And one day, it just kind of lost its luster. Anybody ever been there?
Amen.
And I said, I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm still saved, God. I'm going to heaven. But I don't want to be hurt anymore.
Amen.
I can't preach God's word if I'm going to be hurt. And I can't preach God's word if they're going to make fun of me. Amen. If they're going to judge me for what I'm wearing. I'm not in a three-piece suit this morning. And it was all I could do to put these blue jeans on. You know why I did it? Because it ain't about what I got on.
Amen.
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 God loves us. God loves us. And then one day, hallelujah, as I'm sitting beside my grandmother, as she was leaving this world, reading Guidepost to her, Guidepost magazine, which is a Christian-based magazine, God spoke to me through Guidepost. And it was a story about a preacher who had lost his way because he got hurt. My grandmother, I was holding her hand, and she was squeezing to me. She was squeezing my hand. And you know what she told me? Stop running. Thank you for a grandmother's love. Thank you for a grandmama that wasn't afraid to tell me the truth. Thankful I had a grandmother who wanted to kick my rear in. Amen. And she did it the best way she knew how. And I said, Grandmama, I promise, I'll stop running. And I did. Until I got my feelings hurt again. You know what, church? You know what hurts your feelings? You know what hurts you? It ain't the love of God. It's the flesh that goes on within the church house. Amen. Amen. He loved us so much. Jesus says, I love you. So you see, church, after Jesus said, I forgive you, after everything that was done to him. So after he was beaten, after he was scorned, after he was spat upon, after he was stabbed in the side, after he was nailed to the cross, after he died on the cross, he said, I'll forgive you. Now let me ask you something. This last month we've been talking about love. We've been talking about how much I love my wife and how much she loves me and how much I love you and how much you love me. We've been talking about forgiveness. We've been talking about all these things. And all today relates to the last month. But let me ask you something, church. If Jesus can love you and can love me and He can forgive me and He can forgive you and we can find sweet restoration, why can't we do it for others? You know, I had somebody ask me and said this, I'm not going to be talked that way to again. I will not be treated that way again. I don't deserve it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Why not you? It happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus. They said, well, I love them. Jesus loved you. And I thought, I've been there. I have been hurt so bad by family members. They're the ones that have cut you the hardest and the deepest. And I thought, I will never let that happen to me again. I built my wall. I put up my do not look at me hand. I had put on my glasses. I can't see. Jesus said, you're wrong. I died for you. And you can't do this little old thing called forgiveness? Wow. He forgave me. He forgave you. You mean to tell me, after all that we've done, after all the sin that we've done, after all the bad things that we've done, after all the cuss words that we've said, after all the alcohol we've drank, after all the drugs we've done, after all the sin to one another we've done, God still, in His awesome grace, came from heaven to die for us, to love us, to forgive us? Absolutely He did. Absolutely He did. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that He saved an old wretched like me. Amen. Jesus knew you were going to reject Him. He knew the sins that you was going to take, that was going to take place, regardless of the circumstance. Just as Christ knew that the soldier was going to pierce his side, He loved him anyway. Christ was still willing to forgive him anyway. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is willing to forgive you. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, or just as you and I have fallen short of being perfect, God will forgive us. Well, Pastor, I'm perfect. Amen. Neither am I. But you know what? Every day that I get out of my bed, that the good Lord allows me to stand on my two feet, and I can sit on the side of my bed before I put my feet down, and I said, Lord, thank you for another night. Thank you for bringing me through another night. But Lord, I ask you, if there's anything that I'm going to do today, or anything that I'm going to say today, or any place that these feet may go today, or anything that this mouth may speak today that I don't even know, that is not of you, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to forgive me now. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that when I get up, and I pray that when I go to bed, and I pray for each and every one of you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be personable for you, with you guys, for just a second. I pray for you every day. Every day. I pray for our neighbors around here. I pray for you every single day. And I would go and I would start on this side, and I would, in my mind, and I would pray for each and every person. And I'd be through in about 30 minutes. God said, that is enough. You're a pastor. You're a pastor. And now, when I pray, it's individual. And I may be there for an hour. I may be there for 2 hours. I may be there for half a day. But I'm praying for each and every one of you. And I'm praying for the hair that's not on your head. I pray for everything about you. I pray that God guides your footsteps. I pray that God, when you have to go to the doctor, that God just speaks through the doctors. Amen? Because I'm telling you, God loved me enough. And I love Him. And I love you. And as a pastor, that's what I'm supposed to do. Amen? His love is forgiveness. His love for you is so deep. He loves to forgive. Did you hear what I said? So God not only died for me, Pastor, but God loves to forgive me? It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Read it for yourself. He loves to forgive us. Church, how many in this room today can say that they love to forgive? Amen? I want you to think about that for a second. How many in this room? I know, we as Christians are supposed to forgive and, you know, move on. And that's cool. Hey, brother, you did me wrong. I forgive you. I love you. It's good. That's how we are. But let me ask you something. That's not the question. The question is, do you love to forgive? I want a show of hands. I'm going to be part of the congregation. How many loves to forgive? We got one. You and I need to talk after church because I need prayer. I do forgive, but it's hard. It is hard. But I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that have forgiven, that have forgiven somebody for doing wrong, isn't such a cleansing? Isn't such a purging of things out of your body? You know, if we worked outside all day and we get all nasty, we go in, we take a hot shower, and say, "Woo! Man, I feel great. Thank you, Jesus." Same way of forgiveness. You forgive somebody in life. It just opened up heaven's doors because we just forgave somebody. But Jesus said he loves to forgive. God loves you so much that when you do sin, he's willing to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. That's strange because people who put limits and guidelines on things, it's really hard for them to forgive. Amen? But with God, there is no guidelines. There is no, you know, limits. God, on the other hand, says that he will forgive us if we confess our sins. Amen?
Amen.
And not only will he forgive us, but he will cleanse our impurities.
Amen.
Amen. Everything that I'm telling you today, you can find in the first book of John. Amen. The first book of John. Now, church, I'm sorry this morning that I'm stepping on some toes on this thing called I love to forgive. But look, I don't step on your toes without stepping on my own first. And my toes this morning have been black and blue all week because I have asked God, I want to feel this thing called forgiveness. Now, Pastor, you mean to tell me you've asked God to show you how to love to forgive? Okay. Yes, I have. Because this is the way I see it. I don't want nothing between him and I. I want those doors to always be open.
That's right.
There ain't no such thing as a door kick. They ain't even no hinges because the door's gone. It's always an open door. It's the way I want it to be. Amen? So, yes, if I have to pray and ask God to show me how to love to forgive, let me tell y'all something. I was on vacation Friday. On vacation. And me and my wife's getting ready to go somewhere. And I get a phone call from the owner of our company. And do you know what he says? I understand that you're leaving us to go into the ministry full time. I said, yes, sir. He says, so I don't understand. You're just going to give away? You're just going to just throw away 22 years of your career? I said, absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Means nothing. You know why? Because this right here, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my calling. This is my love. This is my passion. Amen?
Amen?
Because God's called me. And he loved me so much that he chose me. Amen?
Amen?
God loves to forgive us so much, regardless of the things that you and I have done. He is willing to throw them down into the depths of the sea. Now, I want you to think about how deep the ocean is. Now, he's ready to just throw these things in the depths of the sea and never to be heard from, brought up, talked about anymore, ever again. Amen?
Amen?
The sea is so wide, we can't go around it. Amen?
Amen?
It's so high, we can't go over it. And it's so deep, you can't go under it. Amen?
Amen?
So God loves us so much that he just got rid of it. Well, Pastor, I sin. Mm-hmm. We all do. That's why they call us sinners saved by grace. Amen. Sinners saved by grace. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He forgave us. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't think you really know the sins that I've committed. Let me tell you what the Bible says about sin. First of all, He loves us regardless. Because we've learned that. Amen? You, the people spat on Him. They scorned Him. They mocked Him. They stabbed Him. They nailed Him to a cross. And all through that, He loved us. And so you're trying to tell me if I sin, that He loves me enough to forgive me. Mm-hmm. But the Bible tells us that He loved the sinner, but He hated the sin. Amen. Amen. He loved the sinner, but He hated the sin. But it also tells us that all we have to do is just ask Him to forgive us. And it's wiped away. It's thrown out to the depths of the sea. Church, His love is everywhere. Amen. His love brought you and myself here today. Amen. 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 His love saved you from that accident that you could have had on the way here. Right. 2 weeks ago, I'm driving to work, and I'm on the phone. I was on the phone with Dad. And all of a sudden, the only thing he heard on his line was, "Lord, help me, Jesus. Thank you for keeping me safe." There was a deer with a rack on it, Brother Ralph. And I couldn't see nothing but the neck up. And he was in front of my truck. Now, let me tell you something. I'm driving 60, and the only thing you see is a neck. I hit that deer. I ran through that deer. But God was there. Because there wasn't a scratch on my truck. There wasn't no hair on my truck. And that deer kept on running. Now let me explain something to you. A truck driving 60 and a deer galloping, he's going to get hit. Yeah, amen. Amen? Yes. And I drive a four-wheel drive. But I'm going to tell you, that four-wheel drive can't stop a deer.
No, it can't.
I mean, it will, but it's going to tear it up. Who do you think was driving that truck? Who do you think was helping that deer cross the road?
God.
Jesus. So when that happened, what did I say, Dad? I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, hallelujah, for keeping me and that deer safe." Now, I love deer meat, but I didn't want it that way. God kept us. God loves us so much that the little things like that, he sees us through. Church, He loves us so much that He keeps us out of harm's way.
Yes, He does.
Amen. Amen. I can't count the times. I can't count the times.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to move on. I was in Jamaica doing a missionary trip. And the guy says, "Hey, we need to go to the grocery store." All right. Well, there ain't no refrigeration. There ain't no air conditioning. So you got to get non-perishable items. We go. We get our stuff on our way back. The bag boy goes, "Look, I'll take the groceries for you. You just pay me a couple of dollars. I'll take them to your room." Okay, that's fair enough. He said, "But we're going to go down this alleyway." And me, I'd never been there before. I'm like, "All right, let's go." And something stopped us. And I said, "Maybe we need to go this way." And he goes, No. "It takes a couple blocks if we go this way." No. "We're going to go the way we came. Because there's people." So it came down to, "I'll just take my own groceries." "Oh, no, we'll go that way," because he wanted his money. But I got up the next morning, I flipped on the news. And in that alley where I was going to go, the bag boys was beheading tourists and robbing their money and leaving them dead. Now, don't you think that I got a Holy Ghost dance up in my room for keeping me safe? Don't you think that I got on my knees and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much, for keeping me safe"? Because you know I got a greater work to do at home. You know I got a wife and children that need me. You know I have to preach your word. What I'm doing here is not in vain. Amen? Because He kept me safe. Amen? Church, it's time. It's time. Don't wait. Don't wait. I've heard so many people say, "Well, you know, I'm living my life the way I want to live it right now because I have plenty of time to do it God's way. I'm going to tell you something, church. None of us in this, we're not promised another breath.
That's right.
None of us in this room is promised another day. And when we understand how precious life is and how precious God's plan for our life and in this ministry is, I'm going to tell you, God didn't send you here to warm these seats. God didn't send you here. I'm going to tell you something real small. We have been praying for people to come our way. We have been praying for people to come our way to help us to grow this ministry because we want to help this community. We want to be a light to somebody that is hurting because we've been there. We have asked God to put us in a community, and I prayed against Spalding County because there's 150 churches here. But I said, God, whatever. And I remember the day that you and I drove up on this property and I got out of the truck and I walked around this church. It wasn't even for sale. I thought there was 150 people going here. I walked around the church. You remember it? I said, Lord God, touch this church. Lord, touch every member in it. Lord, I ask you to let it prosper. Lord, I ask you to let just everything fall into place for the pastor and the preacher that is in here. Lord, I ask you to touch each and every member that goes to church here. Lord, not only that, I ask you to touch every blade of grass out on this land. Touch the neighbors to the left. Touch the neighbors to the right. Touch the neighbors across the street. And you know what, Jesus? Why are you doing all this blessing? Bless the church across the street. Because we're all in it for the same thing. Lord, little did I know that what I was praying was for our ministry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Because God loved us so much that he said, I'm going to put a 40-year-old man and a 40-year-old woman down there in Griffin, Georgia, exactly where they told me they didn't want to be, so they could help the community. And we've done things in this community, and people have said, thank you. We appreciate it. That's awesome. And you know what? We don't want to stop there. God, we want to feed people. God, we want to go out and help others in bad times when there's hurricanes or whatever. Amen.
Amen.
And I think about that every time I go from my house to church, about how God's grace was so merciful and he loved us, this church, enough to put it right here. Amen. It's time. Because if I wasn't accepted God into my heart years ago, I guarantee you, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because there's been things in my life that's happened that could have took me out. Yesterday, I'm strapping down some metal on the back of a trailer. Big old ratchet straps. If they break loose, they can kill you. If not, they're going to bust that noggin wide open. And I'm strapping. It broke loose on the trailer. It's got a big old metal piece on there like that. And I heard, it happens quick. I heard it by the time it popped. And I look up, and it looked like a movie. Because I seen it, I went, anyway. Didn't. And I thought, at first reaction, I was, ooh, I got mad. But then I got to thinking and I calmed down and I said, Jesus, thank you yet again for saving my life. Thank you yet again for me to be able to come and preach your word today. Amen. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Church, it's time. Don't wait. It doesn't matter if you're saved. Because saved people, we're not perfect. But the time is now. The time is now that we learn from everything that Jesus has taught us today, how he loves us and how we should act and how we should forgive, we should love one another, that we've learned this entire month. If I could get everyone to please stand.